Tarshish Chayesar, everybody. First of all, a mazel tov to the one who put me on Torah anytime for the first time, to Noach Fried and his engagement to Brachy Markowitz. It's an amazing mazel tov. So, yeah, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You should be zochen many much bracha and atzlacha, you and your kala, for a long time. So, Perachav Dalad, guys, Pasuk Sama Gimel. Here's what we're dealing with, and this is, again, this is a Pasuk that I've sort of spoken about before, but not exactly. The Pasuk says the following, Vayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basodeh. Yitzchak went out to Lasuach in the field. Seemingly, and Rashi translates it as, to Davin in the field. Lifnos Erev, toward evening. Vayisa Ena Vayari lifted up his eyes and he saw Vinei Gemalim Boy. Behold, there were camels coming. He saw the camels coming to greet him, obviously with Rivka and everything. Now, I just translate the word lesuach as to daven. The truth is, the Rishonim don't all say that way. So, Ibn Ezra and the Rabbeinu Bechaya and his Derech HaPshat, the Ibn Ezra and the Rabbeinu Bechaya both say that it means laleches bein hasichim. Siach is also a word not just for talking, but it also refers to a type of bush. So lechas benesichim, what he went is, la suach basada, is to take a little bit of a trip between the bushes and go on a tiyul. Yitzchak went for a walk, and his way back, he met up with Eliezer and Rivka, right? That's what he's doing on his way back, but that's the idea. La suach is really bein hasichim. Now the Rashbam and the Chizkuni say the same basic idea. They say it a little bit differently. The Rambam and the Chizkuni say he went to go take care of the trees of his field. He wanted to see how his workers were doing. Apparently he had workers and he owned his own field. He wanted to see what was happening. While he was working in the field, he saw the camels coming and went out of his fields to go greet them. So that's another pshat, the same similar basic idea. The Maharshal in Yerios Shlomo, that's one of the Perushim that are written on Rashi, suggests that he went out to go dig pits. The word shucha is a deep pit, and therefore lasuach refer, even though it's a shin and a sin, lasuach means shucha. You went to the pits, pronounced that way, in order to go work on the field to whatever it was out there. A little bit different, but seemingly the same exact idea. Paneach Raza also says the same idea. He went to plant trees and vegetables that he would need to be Mepharnes, his future wife. He knew that his father had gone to go find a wife for him. He figured he needed Parnassa, so the Parnassa he was going to do together with those fruits, vegetables, the field, the stuff out there, he knew it was coming soon, and therefore he went out lasuach to go plant things in the field. And the Ramban himself says he was probably there with friends and relatives. The trip was together with them, and he met Eliezer and Rivka while he was with his relatives themselves. The Chizkuni adds one last thing, that he went out to go talk with his friends in the field, to go speak with a friend, and then returned alone on the path. His friend went in another direction, but he had gone out lasuach, means to talk with. It does mean the word sicha. It does mean the word having a conversation with. Basada, to talk to his friend in the field, and therefore he went out there. All of these Rishonim are saying that it's not a deal of tefillah. That we're not dealing with tefillah, we're dealing with taking a tiyul, planting something, digging pits, and of course at the very end, speaking with a friend. But they're all dealing with the same idea, where they're getting around the tefillah idea. The Torah Tamima, this is Rabbi Baruch Epstein, who's well known for his radical way of looking at things, says he looks at these Rishonim and he says he doesn't understand why in the world are all these Rishonim, this is a lot, the Rashbam, the Ramban, the Chizkuni, the Ibn Ezra, the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Paneach Raza, all of them, every single one of these Rishonim, pick Lasuach. They tell you that the word Lasuach seems to mean something which it's not used for throughout all of Tanakh. We see the word Sicha being used. Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pours out his prayers. The word Siach means to talk. It doesn't mean to go for a tiyul in a field. It doesn't mean to go work in your field. Why in the world, says the Torah Tamima, are they choosing to translate this word as something that it's not used for throughout all of Tanakh? It's just a strange thing altogether. Get together. You can look in Kuf Mem Aleph, Kuf Mem Beis, Kuf Mem Hey, Kuf not Mem Kuf Aleph, Kuf Mem Beis or Kuf Mem Hey, and it's clearly referring to davening. There's no question it refers to davening. So why in the world are they choosing that way? And maybe that's the reason why Rashi says what he does. Rashi says the word lasuach basada means to daven, and it's lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. He poured out his prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to wherever he went, to pray in the fields itself. Targum Unkelus and Targum Yonatan translate the word this way as well. They say the word Sal'ah, and the word Sal'ah refers to tefillos, refers to prayers. It seems there's no doubt whatsoever in their minds. Targum Yonatan, Targum Unkelus, as well as Rashi, that this is the idea behind it. It's referring to tefillah itself. The Mizrahi, in Avodah Zarah Zayinam Abez, he quotes the Gemara over there, says, in Tehillim, how do you know what the word Sicho means? L'pnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. And the Gemara says over there, you know where we learn it from? From over here. That Vayetzi Yitzchak L'suach Basadeh, just like over here, it means Yaakov Davin, Yitzchak Avinu Davind, so to over there, Sicho means Davening. So he says, it's circular logic. The only reason we know over here that it means davening is because it said Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. But the only reason we know Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho is davening is because it says Vayitzi Yitzchak L'suach Basada over here. So which one's the real hero here? Is Tehillim teaching us what it means over here? Is over here this pasuk teaching us what it means over there in Tehillim? Which one is the real one? So there's a Tosfos and Brachos that answers the question. The Mizrahi goes through it and he says, listen, obviously there's something, but let's think for a second. What would the words Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho mean? If not tefillah. In front of Hashem, he's pouring out his what? What is he pouring out with? Obviously, it's tefillah. What else could it be? If he's just talking, what's the talking? Like in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's pouring out his talk? Like, obviously, it means he's talking and davening. Like, there's no other question of what it could be. Do you think it means to go out into the fields? Of course it's not. Well, what else could it be? So that's for sure referring to davening. So therefore, we also take it from over here. We look over here and we say, well, wait a second. It says, Vayetzi Yitzchak L'suach Basadeh. It doesn't say he went with anyone, unlike the Chizkuni. It doesn't say he went with anybody. And it doesn't say anywhere that he went for a tiyul. That doesn't seem like something the Torah would need to tell us about. So it says, it must be that it's tefillah. The combination of them both, with the, I guess say, the precarious position of trying to figure out what this possibly could mean, looking at it and saying, what could this possibly mean? It's got to be it's referring to people, there's nothing else. There's Mizrahi, there's a Gurariye, the Torah Tamima, they all speak about this idea. And the Sforno says this as well. The Sforno kind of combines the two. He says, he went off-road between the bushes to Davin. So that means Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho is working for tefillah, and over here Lasuach Basadeh is he went toward the bushes in the field in order to daven. Says this morning, you put it all together in such an idea. The Ksava Kabbalah, puts it a little bit in a different way. The word Sach does mean to talk, as we say Pesach is named for the pad, the mouth is sach, is able to talk. It does mean talk, sin or samach. Either way, it means to talk. There's no question whatsoever. The phrase that we know from this is hesach hadas. You've all heard of hesach hadas, right? When a person forgets something, he has hesach hadas. What does that word sach really mean? It does mean to talk, but what does it mean? Says the way the Ksava Kabbalah says it is, sach means to turn something from what it was into something else entirely. The word sach means here's what it could be, and you turn it around and you say, no, it really means something else. Hesach hadas is you're thinking about something else entirely, you're not considering the matter at hand. That's the idea behind it. So here, it means he did something to stop something else. In other words, the way the Ksava Kabbalah puts it is, he went for a walk, not for the sake of walking, but to get his mind off of everything else. Obviously, Yitzchak Avinu knew he was getting married soon. There was a lot of stuff on his head. In order to clear his mind, he went for a walk. And in the same vein, he says, that is what tefillah is. You have your work day. You're sitting there and you're doing everything else you need to do. You get up in the morning and you're thinking to yourself, what's my day like today? What's my daily planner going to be like? In the middle of the day when you're davening mincha, you're in the middle of everything and you have to stop your mind from going everywhere else and saying, this is what I have to focus on right now. And Marav, when you're tired and you really don't want to do it, you stop your mind from going everywhere else and you say, this is what I have to do. The definition of tefillah is to be lasuach. To remove your mind from something else and to start doing this instead. So he said the whole point of davening is to do exactly that. And that's why it's compared to taking a tiyul. That lasuach basada, to go take a tiyul in the field, is exactly like this idea over here. That's the concept. Now what did he do? If he davened, what was he davening? The Moshe of Zakenim says he davened a full Shemona Esrei. How he knew there had to be 18/19 brachas in Shemona Esrei? Obviously, he had powers that we don't know of. He realized that this is what needed to be, and therefore he davened his full Shemona Esrei during this time. When he finished, Rivka Imenu was right there. The Malbim says that Siach is a little bit similar, a little bit different from the Ksava Kabbalah. He says the thought process of being misbodeit, of thinking to yourself that I'm in the field, is the way to daven. I know that it's difficult for everybody, so I'm going to give an example. I have, in one of my siddurim that I use, it's actually a siddur that I haven't used in a while, and I should use it again, but I daven with big windows in front of me now. I have a siddur that has a picture of the Shemayim on the front page. And that way, when I'm not there, I'm just not thinking, or there's something in front of me and I can't see outside, I look down at the picture and I think of the heavens, and I'm able to put myself out there as if, okay, now I get it. Now I get what I'm supposed to be thinking about. When there's a window and you can see outside, it's important to be able to look outside. And really, it's in Siman Tzadi, in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should daven only in a shul that has windows. You should not daven in a shul that doesn't have windows, preferably 12 windows. But even if it's not 12 windows, you should daven in a shul that has windows. That if you don't have windows there, what the point of the windows is to be able to, if you're missing your concentration, look up at the heavens for a second and then be able to get yourself back into it. So the way the Malbim says it is that Siach, again, does refer to the bushes and the trees and the fields. The point of what Yitzchak was doing was getting his mind onto where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, being misboded, understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him, and then being able to return afterward, going home right after that. Lifnos Erev, he was misboded, he sat on his own, he did something in order to get his tefillah, to be an awesome tefillah, and then he went home afterward. That's how the Malbim puts it right over here. The Maria Sad said it's a little bit different. Siach is not a normal person's tefillah. Only the greatest people can do siach. We have many words to refer to tefillah in Tanakh. There's tefillah itself. There's rina. There's tsa'aka. There's zi'aka. There's so many words. 10 different ones, according to some of the sfarim that are written on tefillah. 10 of them altogether. So what's with the word siach? How does siach fit in? Says the Maria Sad, when someone needs something and you're far away, you daven with tsa'aka. You're screaming out loud as if you have to scream for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be heard. You feel like you're so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you just cry out loud as if you need it. That's the idea behind it. That's, I guess we'll call that the Uman way of davening, right? Where there's the tza'aka, you feel like you just want to be heard. Siach is a little bit of almost a whisper. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close, all you need to do is whisper. It's difficult to get to the level of siach. That's not a normal davening. I know our Shemona Esrei is done in a small talk, but you're supposed to picture like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there in front of you. You're supposed to do that. The word siach is that its tefillah is so powerful, it's able to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without you doing almost anything at all. It's immediately heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if it's right there in front of his face. Hopefully, that's what we're trying to do with our Shemona Esrei. I don't know if that's what they always did. It seems that Chana was original in that way. Chana, when she stood there and Shmuel and Avi saw her, she was davening for the first time in a method of siach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where she was almost like whispering and Eli couldn't understand it. Every time he saw people davening, it was a tefillah, it was a rina, it was a tza'aka, something like that. But this was a siach, it was completely different. He couldn't understand how a person could do that. Okay, that's that. Balaturim, based on Brachos Chavavim Abeis and Avodah Zarah Zayim and Aleph, says he was metakin the tefillah of Mincha at this time. Lesuach basadeh, lifnos erev, toward the evening, is that he made the tefillah of Mincha, and right afterward he met Rivka. He said, it's based on the pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Beis Vav, al zos yispalo kol chassid le'eis mitzo. For this, a chassid should always daven le'eis mitzo, for a good time. In the Gemara Darshan, what's le'eis mitzo, for a good time? Means, le'eis mitzo, a time where God is found, it means to daven for a wife. That at Mincha, he davened for his wife, he davened lifnos erev, and guess what happened? At the end of the day, he stopped his tefillah, looked up, and his wife was right there in front of him. And it's not a coincidence that on the day, seemingly, according to the Baal HaTorim, on the day he made the tefillah of Mincha, he found his kala. He found his kala, literally just looked up. Now, not all of us are like Yitzchak Avinu. Plus, you probably shouldn't be davening in a place where you can look up and see your kala right afterward. That probably is not the easiest thing to be able to do in the first place. But that is the tefillah to do it. There are skulas out there for everything. This is a great skula. A person wants to get married. Right there is the line where if a person concentrates during his tefillah samincha, perhaps this is a great thing to be able to go through, since Yitzchak made the tefillah of Mincha and then immediately found his wife. Obviously, Eliezer was already sent, but it was a miracle that he came back right at this moment because there was Kfitz Zaderech involved. That was the idea behind it. The idea is that it happened right at that point. I think that's an unbelievable idea to use. The Chida says from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, this is a gematria that you have to really work on for this. Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basoda Lifnos Arev is 1808, 1808, same gematria of Shetikain Tfila Shel Mincha, that he made the Tfila of Mincha. Tfila is spelled with a Yud. That's amazing, right? 1808 altogether. That's an unbelievable little gematria to be able to go through. He then says, the Chidah says, when he quotes this Rebbe Yehuda Chassid, he says, it was the ways of the Rishonim, like the Rokeach and the Balaturim. Balaturim is a late Rishon, to be able to use gematrios and Tzirufim in certain ways to be able to darshan what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. This is one of the ways that they got out there. The Kli Yakar says, the Kli Yakar goes on about the Tfila of Mincha itself and says, the Tfila of Mincha, everybody should be careful about. Eliyahu HaNavi Daven Mincha and was answered in Tfilas Mincha. That's in Bavam Abezim Brachos. He was answered immediately. Now granted, Avram and Yaakov also made their Tfilas. Avram made Shacharis, Yaakov made Maariv, but we don't see them being answered immediately. Avram made Shacharis when he davened for Sodom, right after he davened for Sodom to be saved, and it seemingly did not work. Sodom was destroyed. Davened the next morning. But that was Avram. Yaakov davened Maariv, standing there at Har HaBayis, when he was brought back to Har HaBayis, he davened Maariv, and there was nothing there that we see that he was davening for. We don't know what he was davening for, but it didn't seem to be something that he was answered immediately. It didn't seem like he was answered immediately. So it could be that there was no answer that was there immediately, and therefore, we only learn it from Yitzchak himself. Look at Yitzchak Avinu. He davened and immediately was answered with a good wife. Immediately was answered over there. Says the Kli Yakar, it may be the reason why. It's because Shacharis and Maariv are close to nighttime. So it's the time when the Satan rules. The Satan is at night. Shacharis is close to nighttime. Maariv is close to nighttime. Mincha is in the middle of the day, filled with chesed. Lahagid baboker chastecha. That once the boker is filling up with chesed, after you daven shacharis and the chesed is all over the world, then mincha comes into play. Perhaps that's the reason why there's not as many kitrugim, as many accusers that are there, and therefore mincha becomes this pure tefillah, this tefillah that gets out there. Says the Mashiach Ruach, Yitzchak Avinu is a man of yira, the man of awe, fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He found it hard to have a relationship with other people, says the Mashiach Ruach, and this is classic Ishbitzer, that he found it hard to have the relationship, let alone a wife. For this reason, he davened for siyata d'shmaya during his mincha to be able to find a proper zivuk. That's why he davened at this time for such a proper zivuk, because he was worried what he would be like with that wife, and then he was answered immediately right after that. The Miam Loez quotes this about tefillah, and he goes on all about the halachas of tefillas mincha. He goes on and on about tefillas mincha. And he says, it's the time, he says the following, he says, it's a tremendous tefillah because during the time of din. Now, I realize that's a steer to what we just said. The Kli Yakar said that it's a time of rachamim because it's during the day. Yet, here, we have the Miyam Loei saying that it's a time of din. I don't think it's a stira. What I think he means is that the overall time of day is a time of rachamim, while there are certain hours of the day, certain times of the day where din starts coming into play, where din tries to rule, but chesed overrules it. Mincha is during one of those times, the mid-afternoon, when they call Ketiv Mariri and other things that are out there might try to take it over, but Chesed is able to rule over, we're able to get it, but it's right at that time. He says that if a person can daven mincha early, never push it off. Never push it off. Now, I know it's easier to daven mincha toward the end of the day. The problem is, what if something happens? If a person has the opportunity to daven at 12:30, 1:30, 2 o'clock at a time like that, says the Miam Loez, it's much better for a person to be able to do that, for a person to daven mincha as early as he can to be able to make sure. Can he daven two Shemona Esrei's later? Yeah. But nobody wants to do that. It's always better, says the Miam Loez, to make sure you get mincha done during the day. Says the Ol Aryeh, Reb Leibel Katz, that one should try to say during his mincha, Tehillim Kuf Chaf Aleph. I think he means after Mincha's over. I'm not positive. But Tilim Kochav Aleph, that's the one that everybody knows. Shir La Malo Se Soinai La Ari Me Aina Bo Ezri. He says, such a mizmor is great for Parnasa and Zivugim. Parnasa and Zivugim. And since Mincha is this time when Yitzchak is answered about his Zivug Hagun, therefore, because of that, we should say, Shir La Malo Se Soinai La Ari Me Aina Bo Ezri. You have to think to yourself, where am I going to be able to get help? Where am I going to be able to get what I need? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the only one who can help me. That's the way that a person should think it to themselves. And finally, the Tzurah Amor, he says, the Mida of Yitzchak, as we said, was that ultimate Mida Sadin, what we call Pachad Yitzchak, says the Tzurah Amor. That means during Mincha, A person should have special concentration. It seems, Vayisa'ena Vayar, he lifted up his eyes and he saw, which means for the other part of his tefillah, the part of his tefillah where he still, when he was still davening, he had his head down. Now the truth is, a person should daven that way. The way you're supposed to daven is not with your head up to the Shemayim. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the Malachim laugh at a person who has his head up toward the heavens, looking up at the heavens as if he's looking for heaven's favor. The Malachim laugh at such a person. A person should have his back straight, confident that his tefillah is going to go up, his back straight, however, his head bent down a little bit contrite, a little bit more anivus, achna we'll call it, where a person is machnia himself. So again, back straight and doing everything with his head down. Of course, the hands are also out there. Simin Tzadi Hei in the Shulchan Aruch mentions to put your hands together, but we don't put our fingers together. For some reason, Kabbalistically, that's bad. You're putting Rachamim and Din together. You put your thumbs inside. You have your right hand on top of your left hand with your thumbs inside on top of your heart, right? And to be able to daven that way. It's difficult to do. It's not comfortable when you're not used to it, to be able to daven in such a way with your head down and to stand straight like that. And if a person needs a sitter, obviously a person should be holding a sitter or have a sitter near him to be able to go in front. But that's one of the ways that a person can have better concentration. According to Tzura Mor, Yitzchak Avinu had exactly that. He had that kavana. He was looking down and he didn't see anything. And then he had intense concentration until he finished. And then afterward he looked up and he saw that his tefillah was answered. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, if we only knew that the Shechina was opposite us when we daven, that it truly is, that it's Baruch Atah Hashem, you Hashem, the word you is used because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish there, that we know exactly what this means and we'd have our tefillahs be in a different way altogether. I mentioned the Torah Tmima before. He asked this question, and I'll ask it to everybody here. Does anybody know why we call it Mincha? Meaning, Shacharis means because of Shachar, morning. Okay, that makes sense. Mariv is Erev, toward the evening. That makes sense. What's Mincha? I mean, it should be called Saharayim, afternoon, right? It should just be something like Shemesh, something like that. So that is good. It's brought down from the Tosis Yom Tif and Brachos. He says exactly that. He says it's Menuchas HaShemesh, where the sun starts to rest, where it starts to go down in the sky, as if it's setting. So we call it Menuchas HaNefesh, and therefore we call it Mincha. But it would be strange that we call the tefillah after rest, if it was just Stam rest. Menuchas HaShemesh, as if the sun is going down, he allows. But strange to call rest. I'm not saying it isn't, but that's that. Some people say that Mincha is a gift. It's a gift that one gives to another person. One gives a gift at any time or whatever it is. And therefore, in the middle of my day, I'm giving a gift to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But to expand on that, the Torah Tmima says, based on the Torah in Or HaChaim, Reish Lamed Beis, davening mincha right in the middle of the day, if a person davens in the middle of the day, the reward one gets for doing so is very great. Not just at the end of your day, but mamish, taking off time from work, if a person has that ability. Again, if you're an uman, a person who's getting paid as a schir yom by the hour, that may not be permitted. It may not be that you're allowed to daven mincha during that time. That might be considered stealing from your boss. And there are halachos about what a person should do in such a situation if he can't get down from a tree while working in order to daven mincha. Shorten Shmona Esrei, and he has to daven up there. That's already a different story. But if a person is his own boss, or if he has the ability to do it on his own time, he's not getting paid per hour for every minute of that hour, he has time to be able to do things on his own, then a person who uses up his time in the middle of the workday in order to daven mincha, that person's reward is very great. He says the following, a mincha is the only korban in the Torah, and I know it's not a korban, because a korban is bringing an animal close, and mincha is not a korban, mincha is a flower offering. But it's the only type of korban that's mentioned that uses the word nefesh when describing it in Parshas Vayikra. The nefesh ki sakrav mincha. When a person brings a mincha itself. Often, it was very poor people who would be bringing that mincha itself. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu considered that sacrifice that they were giving. Again, it was not easy for them to even bring a mincha, to be able to give flour as an offering. That sacrifice is as if they brought a massive cow. By giving what they could, that was considered awesome. It's the same exact thing when it comes to davening mincha. When davening mincha, sacrificing a bit of your day and the money you could make in going around, it's like the korban mincha. Like the mincha is a tiny little bit of flour, but it feels like it's a huge cow. So too, this idea of giving up your time for tefillah seems like you're doing a lot more than just that. Yeah.
Paul, what are you saying?
Just davening b'yechidus. Obviously, with a minion would also be awesome, right? If a person has the ability to do that, if there's a minion around. Do you have to give up your time, though? Do you have to give up, let's say, your lunch hour to make sure you make it to a mincha minion and back? It's a shiloh for a rav, for every rav to be able to take care of. I would tell a person, normally in that situation, you're not chayiv. It's an awesome schus, but you don't have to give up your lunch hour for that. If a person can do that, that's absolutely amazing. There's a Kedushas Levi as well. First of all, there are five Kedushas Levis here. Kedushas Levi, they say that the Kedushas Levi is safer on Chumash, is literally kol haTorah kula inside there. You could have the entire Torah in the Kedushas Levi. It's all there in some way, shape, or form. He fits it in. There's amazing stuff within. He says, Shacharis, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for returning our neshamas. Mariv, we thank Hashem for taking our neshamas, for allowing our neshamas to be there. At Mincha time, it's finally something that's new, that I can do on my own. I'm not bringing back something that I had last night. I'm not talking about what will be in the... It's something that I have right now. Says the Kedushas Levi, that's what makes it different, makes it special. It's a donation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's called a mincha. It's something that I'm giving up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why at the end of the day, he lifted up his eyes, being a gemalim bayim. Gemalim bayim is gamol, as in a reward. You're going to get some reward for what you're doing for mincha itself, and that's that. Okay. We have Ayitzi Yitzhak Lesua Pasada, right? He went out to the fields to go daven. What field was this? What field was he talking about that we said he went out to the fields to go daven? See, Yeshaya, Perek Beis, Rashi says it refers to Har Moriah. That he went out to the fields, he didn't go to just Stama field. He went to Har Moriah itself and he davened in the place where he had the Akedah. His Makom Tefillah for davening was on Har Moriah itself. And then he came down and returned to Be'er Lachai Roi and met Eliezer and Rivka on the way there. The Kli Yakar says he purposely davened in this field because he knew that his tefillos would be accepted regarding his grain. Later on, he's going to be blessed with Mea Sha'arim. And Parshas told us he's blessed with Mea Sha'arim 100 times greater than what his field could produce. That's what he ended up getting. And he ended up arguing with Avimelech about everything around there. His success was going to be in the fields, so he used to daven in those fields. So specifically a field, he said, says the Kli Yakar, it was in this place itself. The Paneach Raza says, the field is a remez to what he was davening for. A good wife is also known as a sada. And because a good wife is known as a field, right, because that's what she's called in the field, it's in the Torah itself, therefore he made sure to daven in a field, to daven for a good wife. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, sada is another way of how we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. He goes into a whole different idea that's a little bit more Kabbalistic of how the Kavana one should have when davening, and it's based on that word sada. But then Itziv knocks it out completely. It says, we're not talking about a Hamaria. We're not talking about a field itself. He was not davening any of that, says in Itziv. He was standing under a tree, or he was even in a house somewhere. He was doing this under a tree somewhere around, and his heart and his mind was turned toward Har Moriah. The same way that we daven toward the east, and we face the east, thinking of the Beis HaMikdash when we daven, so too Yitzchak himself thought of where he was davening to. He considered the direction of where he wanted to daven, and he went in that direction, says the Netziv, that's what it was. He was davening for Parnassa, and again, that's represented by a field. It's not that he was davening in a field. He was davening about a field, toward the field of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he was doing, but it had nothing to do with actually davening in the field itself. And the truth is, that really answers a huge kasha. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Siman Sadi, I think it's Sif Dalet in Siman Sadi, that says it's chutzpah to daven in an open field. It's chutzpah to daven in such a place. Right? It's a Gemara Brachos, Lama Dalana Beis from Rav Kahana, that it's chutzpidik to daven in a valley, in an open area, in an open field. You're not supposed to do that. I know there are people that go outside and they have these vasikin minions at beaches and whatever it is. Listen, I'm not paskin for that. I have no idea. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person should not daven in a makom paritz, shouldn't daven in this open area. There are two reasons given for this. One is in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Shulchan Aruch says the reason why is because your heart will never be broken. You'll always have this gaiva. You'll think that you're greater than you think. And I already said that you shouldn't be davening with your head facing the heavens, even under a rooftop. You shouldn't be davening in an open field for the same reason, says the Shulchan Aruch. You'll never be able to be contrite. You'll always think that you're great, you're awesome, and therefore a person should not daven in a field. The second reason given is brought in Tosfos over there in Brachos. And the second reason given is because we're afraid of people passing by and disturbing you. Now, obviously, if that's true, then if you daven in a field, then you won't have to worry about people passing you by and disturbing you. And that's how the Moshe of Zakenim answers why Yaakov Avinu did this over here in a field. He says, because he was davening in a field, nobody was going to disturb him. But the Shulchan Aruch paskens this way. The Magen Avraham goes with that answer of Tosfos. But the Mishnah Berurah says, but we don't hold that way. We go with that you shouldn't daven in an open field. If you are in an open area and you don't have a choice, where else are you going to daven? Okay, so where else are you going to daven? You daven in an open field. If you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But if you have a choice, it's much better to daven maybe even in a dilapidated house, a churva, the Mishnah Berurah says, a churva, than to daven in an open field. A churva where a person wouldn't normally daven. Yeah,
what's up? It's interesting that you bring that up because all the Avos, Moshe, David, were all in the field. That they were davening in
people. But that's an assumption. The assumption is that they were davening in an open area. What I would tell you is that what I do when I bring, you know, my guys out, we play baseball, whatever it is, right? So what we do is we find a gazebo or some type of a rooftop and we daven under there.
But that's not an open field, like
no, trees also. Any tree that you're on top, that's on top of you, would be considered not in an open field.
Oh, okay.
We're saying it's just an open area altogether. What an issue to me, again, I'm not positive. But
you're in Southern Illinois in a cornfield.
Right, if you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But davening on a beach, I totally get why people do it. It's awesome. You're davening, especially when Lake Michigan, you have the sun rising in the east as it's happening. I totally get why people do it. It totally makes sense to me. And if a person needs that as his kavanah, maybe once a year, maybe that's good enough that it's allowed. I just find it strange that you're doing it in a way where the Shulchan Aruch tells you not to do it, and that helps you with your kavanah. That's just strange. But if it's under a tree, that's totally different. Yeah. I would say, what's up? I'm sorry? So I will tell you. So there are obvious differences. The Kotel is a difference, and the reason why is because once you see the Makom HaMikdash, your heart is going to be broken. The reason that we gave the first answer of Tosfos, which was without a question of Libo Nishbar, by the way, the second answer of Tosfos wouldn't work. You won't be bothered by passerby, by people passing by. That for sure doesn't work at the Kotel. You will be bothered by people walking by you. There's no question about that. But the first, unless you're davening Vasikin, but Libo Nishbor, that shouldn't be a problem by the Kotel, and that's okay. So too by the Mishkan, when the Mishkan was there. So too by the Beis HaMikdash. That should have been perfectly fine, because your heart will be broken when you're there. Those everybody agrees with. Those everybody would agree with when it comes to that. But it is interesting. It's just an interesting line to what, that one would have over here, on whether you could or not. So they all ask, again, the Moshe of Zakenim, the tour of the Paneach Raza, they all ask, how could he have davened out in the open? Yitzchak Avinu, how could he have davened out in the open? Right, when we see him to Paskin differently. So he answers, as we said above, it's Hara Moriah. And what do we just say about the Kotel? You can daven by the Kotel, even though it's open air, right? Because your heart is going to be broken a little bit. So too, you can daven Hara Moriah. Because Hara Moriah, you can still daven. You'll feel a little bit broken. Maybe Yitzchak Avinu was able to see that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and that's that. Therefore, it was mutter to be able to daven. The Mi'am Lo'ei says it wasn't Hara Moriah. It was Ma'aretz Machpelah. He davened by his mother's kever. He davened by his mother's kever in Ma'aretz Machpelah, and that was such a holy place that he was able to knock himself down. Since he could smell Gan Eden by being around there, he knew that something was special about that place. Therefore, he was able to daven outside. That's how the Mi'am Lo'ei puts it over there, and the Ol Aryeh says that as well. The Chidush Arim says it could be that this is only Nischadish, this halacha of not davening in an open field, after Yaakov Avinu called Hara Moriah a house. Avram Avinu called the Makom HaMikdash a har, a mountain. Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. And the mountain of God, he will be feared, he will be seen, whatever, he will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Bahar Hashem. Yitzchak Avinu called it a sadeh, as we just said, Lasuach Basadeh. And Yaakov Avinu called it a bayis. He called it a bayis, but even lo bayis. He built a house in that area, he called it a bayis. If that's true, then it could be that the only time we hold that it's usher to daven out in the fields and you got to be in a house is after Yaakov Avinu. Until then, it was mutter, because Yitzchak called it a sadeh, it was an open field. But after that, it had to be inside a house. So maybe the halacha, says the Chidush Arim, was only after Yaakov Avinu himself. Until then, you could daven anywhere you wanted to, even in the field itself, and that's why Yitzchak did it. But nowadays, we wouldn't be able to do so. Of course, the Netziv above, it's not a problem. He didn't daven in a field, right? He didn't daven in a field. He davened in about the field, towards the field, whatever it is, but it's not that. And all the other Rishonim we mentioned, the Rashbam, the Chizkuni, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachaya, all those other Rishonim, clearly they might have held this way. They held that Lasuach Basad, it wasn't davening. Maybe the reason why is because they held because it's usher to daven in a field. So they said it couldn't be referring to davening, it must be referring to something else. So they translated it as something different because they couldn't understand what it was. Okay, we're going to go with one last thing over here, and it's a little bit strange, but this is what it was. The Paris Yosef says he heard from the Tver Shlomo. The Tver Shlomo is the Radomsker. He heard that there are so many people who live in the boondocks. They live out in the middle of nowhere, and they never hear Dvar Shabbat Kedusha. They can't hear Kaddish. They can't hear Kedusha. They can't hear Boruchu because there's no other Jews around. They can't get a minion whatsoever. They get a minion when? Purim, maybe, to come in for Megillah Esther. They get a minion maybe once a year, Yom Kippur, they'll come in for a minion. How do such people, he asks, have any Yanika from Kedusha? How do they have any Kedusha within them? How do they have any holiness within them if they don't hear Dvar Hashem Kedusha, they don't hear Kedusha, they don't hear Kaddish? What do they do? So he said that it's through their Hachnasas Orchim, their ability to have guests within their home and to bring people in. And it's alluded to right over here. Yitzchok saw the future, Lifnos Arev. He saw the evening. He saw when everything was going down, when the end was all going. He saw what was going to happen at the end of days. And he said, they need a schus. What should they do as their schus to save them at the end of days? Vinei gmalim boim. He saw gemilus chasadim. And when he saw the gemilus chasadim, the people traveling from place to place on their camels and needing a place to go and people offering them places to stay, that's how he got their kedusha. Listen, there are a lot of people, right, who get their kedusha from learning Torah. There are many other people who get their kedusha from davening. There are many other people who don't have the ability to daven like everyone else. They don't have the ability to have Torah like everybody else. They get their yanikas kedusha from the gemilas chesed, from being involved in chesed organizations and chesed acts. That's where they get their yanika mina kedusha, and that's what the Radomsker told this man. That's how these people really get everything they need. Sipurei Chesed on page 75. Says the following story. Rav Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov, this is the Zidichov Rebbe, Rav Eichenstein's great, great, great grandfather, great, great, great grandfather, the first Zidichov Rebbe, says he had a brother, Rav Moshe of Sambor, who was a peddler before people realized how great he really was. But he was a peddler. He went around selling things from place to place. He spent all day long with non-Jews in marketplaces that were filled with tumah and whatever it was, but he had to do it for his business, so he's going from place to place, going around. So he came to his prestigious brother, the Zidichov Rebbe, with Akasha. He said, I don't understand something. It doesn't make any sense to me. How is it that every day when I get up to daven mincha, he said, specifically mincha, I feel every limb of my body infused with kedusha. I feel like it's the greatest feel I've ever had. I'm stopping in the middle of the shuk, and I'm finding a corner of the shuk, not a holy place, I'm not in shul, I'm not with a minion, but I'm standing in the middle of the shuk, and all of a sudden, I feel this kedusha in my bones. I feel like I'm a different person. How is that possible that I have it? So he said to his brother, he said to the Zidichov Rebbe, you know what I think it is? I think it's klipas noga. I think it's tumma that's grabbing onto me and making me feel like it's real kedusha, but it's a fake. It's not real. It's not real. I'm not really feeling kedusha. So he said to his brother, what am I supposed to do? So the Zidichov Rebbe says, what are you worried about? What are you worried about, he said. When you go through those markets, and you're walking there with your thoughts of Kedusha and thoughts of Torah, when you're going through all day long, because you're not a person to do this, you're not a person who's going to get involved in that tumah, everything around there. But when you walk through, let's use it nowadays, when you go through downtown Chicago, when you go into your office building, you go in through, I don't know, a doctor in a hospital, a lawyer in a court, and you see those people around there and everything around there, and you're able to maintain your Kedusha, and you're able to think in learning, you're able to dive into a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're able to maintain your connection with a Kaddish Baruch Hu during that time, the area that's there, that's saturated with Kedusha, that can't come out, finds you, grabs themselves onto you, and adds themselves to your body, so to speak. You are pulling in Kedusha from everywhere, wherever you go. So when you get up to daven mincha, it's not just you davening mincha. It's all the Kedusha of all the places you visited, all those things around, you were able to pull with you and you were able to take in with you for your mincha. You think that's klipas noga? It's a different type. It's a type of Kedusha that attached to you, that allows you to feel that you're doing something holier than you've ever done before. And in a way, I don't know, I can't even understand this, but in a way, said the Zidichov Rebbe, your mincha is way more powerful than my mincha sitting in a yeshiva and sitting around a yeshiva all day. Me, what do? I'm learning all day. So of course, I have kedusha that I'm able to infuse into my mincha. But your mincha is infused with a different type of kedusha. The kedusha you're getting from the outside, you're pulling out mibachutz and bring it in. There may be nothing like that kedusha. There's an amazing ma'aril here in a Torah, Chaim Bamuna, a kedusha slavi in a megala amukos. But I'll just say one last thing before we go. Just this, when we say lipnos arvin, he was in the sadeh, it may be referring to the chorban, that he was watching the chorban happen. Says the Ma'aril that lipnos arvin means a time of din, a time of when bad things are happening. Lasuach basadeh could mean he's referring to what's going to be even in Galus, what's going to happen in Galus. And this tefillah may have been a tefillah Yitzchak was giving us to fill us with Kedusha for what we need when we're in Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give us what we have. That's an amazing thought, that Yitzchak's tefillah still applies for us today. Unfortunately, it still applies for us today because we're not in Eretz Yisrael living with Mashiach. But until that point, Yitzchak's tefillah is always going to be there for us. So we've translated the word Lesuach in many different ways. If it means tefillah, we explained what it means, how he was davening, and what kind of davening that is. We spoke about the awesomeness of Mincha and how great Mincha is. We talked about why it's even called Mincha in the first place, why he went to a field and not any other place. We spoke about how he was able to daven outside, and finally the idea of what it means to daven mincha when you're filled with kedusha from the outside around you. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.